I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's a really strong theme that comes through the New Testament and the Gospel reading this morning, both from John, which is this relationship between love and commandments, where we are commanded to love each other, and love is the commandment, and so on. And if you love me, you will obey my commandments, and the commandments and the love are all sort of tied together. You can't separate them. And I Googled, you know, the commandments of Jesus. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. I said, okay, what does Google think are the commandments of Jesus? And sure enough, there was one intrepid soul who had put their theology online for everyone to read as the top search item, which was the 38 commandments of Jesus, where this fellow had gone through the Gospels and found everything that Jesus said that sounded like a commandment. And apparently you can get 38 out of them. I read them and some of them were a stretch. And it's not my theological method anyway. I mean, it's, you know, I get that. Sorry, I'll have to do a little academic background here. I'll be quick about it. I'm pretty cautious about making claims about the historical Jesus. I can talk about the interpretation of the historical Jesus of each of the gospel writers. I know what Matthew thinks. I know what Luke thinks. I know what Mark and John think about what the meaning of Jesus was. To get past their interpretations of the meaning of Jesus to the actual historical Jesus is, you know, you have to be humble about your attempts to say this is what Jesus was and said and did. A few things make the cut. Any parable, probably historical Jesus. This business about love, I think, also makes the cut. I think if you're looking for historical Jesus, he probably talked about love. It's just too central for it to have emerged out of nowhere. That said, Jesus as the one who gives 38 commandments, that's a Matthew thing. Most of the 38 commandments actually came from Matthew's gospel, and it makes sense because Matthew's interpretation of Jesus is that he's a new Moses showing a new way. So instead of the 613 commandments of Moses, he gives new commandments for Christians. And they're good, and it's a good theology, and it's Matthew's theology. And it's Jesus is under there somewhere, but it's a lot of Matthew. This is John. So it's not helpful to me when I'm interpreting John to learn what Matthew thinks about Jesus and what this guy on the internet thinks are the commandments of Jesus. So I went through the 38 commandments and I found 7 of them that were attributable to John. Some of them were a stretch. As I have washed your feet, so you should wash each other's feet. Oh, that's a commandment of Jesus. We have to go washing feet now. No, that was contextual. It's fine. In fact, when you drill down, all the quotes that sound like commandments out of Jesus, all of them are about love, one way or another. Like, that's it. There are only 4 of them, and they were some variation on, like, 3 of them we heard this morning, where, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, and my commandment is this, love one another. And so and this is John. This is John who, you know, my prof said, Mark is subtle, John is obvious. John tells you exactly what you're supposed to hear. And what you're supposed to hear is, there aren't 613 commandments. There's one commandment, and it's to love each other. That's it. So that is the big message of what I take from today, which is, if Christianity is about anything, it should be about love. The sad thing is that it isn't always about love. But when you read this stuff, how can it not be? And I had a little conversation just yesterday with a lovely person, lady, immigrant, thick accent, English not her first language, working, single mother of 2, one of which has special needs. So no time to read news or be upset about Justin Trudeau or whatever that people do when they have spare time and energy. This is a person just living their life. And she said to me, she finds out I'm a priest, and so she wants to talk about life and the universe and everything, as they do. And so she just says, why can't people just love each other? And, you know, I'm sophisticated. Well, you know, I've learned about war and about politics and about everything. And the wonderful thing about that question is that it cuts through all that. You know, it's the question a child has, in that, and it's still, at some level, it's the question that animates all of my reading about politics and war and international relations and climate change and all the things that I read about. Is that it's that six-year-old in me that asks the same question: why can't people just love each other? Because at some level, love is the more natural place to be. And so, this is my commandment: love each other. Sounds like the answer to that question. Well, yes, we should love each other. And Jesus told us to. So that's the end, right? And as anybody with any life experience knows, that's not the end. Because you can tell me, well, I just think of when my brother and I were fighting and my mom said, okay, say you're sorry. And what you got first time was, sorry. And my mother goes, say it like you mean it. Right? And sorry. Okay. Right? Do you really mean it? No. You're doing it because your mom made you. Right? It's not a genuine apology. And so for me, the same thing about love. If we're only, you know, Jesus says I have to love you, so okay. It still doesn't quite get to where I think Jesus, certainly in John's gospel, is trying to take us, which is this oneness with God, where it's deeper than just doing it because we're commanded to. So my reflection this morning is, how do we get from here to there? Because at some level, the question is simple. Why can't we just love each other? But then life happens, and it gets complicated. And it gets complicated because not only because we see the gaps where people are hating and killing each other, but we also see in our own hearts where it's hard for us to love people. And so the interesting question for me is not how can we bring peace to Israel and Gaza and the West Bank. That's an important question, and we need to be working on that. But I can't do much about that in the immediate case. I can stay involved politically and make some statements and do what little I can. But the thing that I can do a lot about is what's going on in here and in the relationships that I have. One of the traps we get into is that we are very righteous in our pronouncements about all the love that other people should be giving each other. And then when it comes to stuff that challenges our own interests, we pull back and say, well, yeah, it's complicated when it comes to me, right? It's easy out there, it's hard in here. So this is where I think we have to go on a journey of love. That's my fundamental takeaway from how do we get from here to there? It's not as simple as Jesus commands me and I can just say, okay, I'm going to be loving and that's solved. Because at some level, if it's going to get deep on the inside, it has to be a disposition that I cultivate. And sometimes I can't get there. Sometimes the best I can do is a gritting of teeth and a being kind because I should. And that's okay. I'm not there yet, but that's better than letting my anger get in control of me. So this is what love looks like for me right now. That's got to be okay. But as far as a journey goes, I always feel that the call is to go deeper and deeper into union with God and with Jesus, which cultivates a disposition of love so that the genuine desire for the well-being of the other is paramount. Not only in our actions, but also in our hearts. And it's not something someone can tell us to be. It's something we have to find our way to. And we can get there. I have gotten there in many ways. I still struggle with some people and issues. And that's okay. I don't expect to be finished by the time I die. I expect to be still in process, and that's just how it is. But in the business of cultivating the disposition of love is a matter of identifying the stuff in here that is getting in the way of the love. And it usually has something to do with fear, usually. There are other things as well, and greed and some other cardinal sins. But I think the big one is fear. It's hard to love people who scare us. That's, you know... More than one person has come to me confessing with some shame that there's a political figure or something that I actually hate that person because they are killing so many people. They are destroying so much that I love and are threatening my sense of the stability of the world or the country or whatever. And how do I not hate them? And I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that the answer is correct, that you have to not hate them. You can oppose them. You can struggle for something that is against their interests and their policies. But when you give in to hate, you pull away from this wisdom that says, when we get back to that six-year-old childlike, why can't we just love each other? That it's that place that is the place that we're heading towards. And so it ties together a bunch of scriptures for me. It ties together that business of suffer the little children to come to me. Not because they're cute, but because there's something in that childlike place of innocence that is the place that we're all trying to get to, where it can be that simple again, even at the end of a complex set of life experiences. So in this journey of love, it's a whole constellation. If we really take John seriously, it's a constellation of trusting in Jesus, acknowledging him as Lord, of being one with Jesus, and anchoring ourselves in the one commandment above all others, which is to put love at the center of it. And so the question that I always have is love at the heart of my decision-making? And is it the best I can do, given where I'm at? And that's got to be enough, because I can't do any better than that. But I know that having worked at it for so long, I'm actually better at loving now than I was when I was younger, because I've made a habit of it. And even getting it wrong, sometimes fake it till you make it is still a good plan. And if you can't feel it, you can still act that way. It's fake. It is fake. I know. It's sorry. Sure. But if that's the best you can do, that's what love looks like right now. And that's okay. It's on the way. Eventually, if you make a habit of it, it will come from a better place. You know, I wouldn't want to be that person, right? I actually wish the best for them. I am opposing them. I think what they are doing is terrible, bad, wrong, evil. And I have compassion for them at the same time. You can get there. And that, for me, is the place that all these commandments ultimately take us, the one commandment, which is above all other commandments. And that's the other little takeaway for me out of this this reading of John, which is that there are lots of commandments. There are 38. There are more than that. If you really look at the New Testament, looking for advice about how to live your life, there's a lot. There's a lot of advice. But underneath all of it has to be love. And love is the criterion by which we measure all the other commandments. And how we apply or implement all the commandments is tempered by, judged by love. And if we do that, we will reap the benefits. I'm going to wrap it up. I'll just say one thing, and this is, it's a brag, and I'm sorry, but this church, struggling with all of the fraughtness of our leaky hall and the decisions we had to make and the money we had to raise and spend and how we spent it, and the struggles that we had within the leadership team of, we should do this, no, we should do this, where the outcomes really mattered and the risks were high. And the fact that we did it and we created a culture where people could speak their mind honestly and truthfully and work our way through it and end up in love and fellowship at the end of the day is a testament to making a habit of this disposition in tough times and tough decisions. So it can be done. We have done it here. Never perfectly. There have been hard feelings. There have been hard words. There have been things along the way. We are not perfect. We know we're not perfect. And yet, what shone through was a genuine commitment for the care of each person and the respect for each person in the process. And that, for me, is the hallmark of the Christian community. If we can maintain that, then you can feel the difference in the community right away, as I do every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.